Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to State of the Arts with Michael Sterling and Paul Strohle right here on LA Talk Radio.
Yes, you are, and I'm Michael Sterling.
Broken windows, empty hallways, pale dead moon in a sky streaked with gray. Human kindness is overflowing, and I think it's going to rain today. One of my favorite old Randy Newman songs. Lyrics burned in my head.
And that just came out
you,
when
right
I said
before
Michael
we came
Sterling.
On the air, you said it was going to rain, and I was thinking great rain songs. And everyone knows raindrops keep falling on my head and all this.
Yes.
But Randy Newman's Think It's Going to Rain Today is a beautiful, heartbreaking song.
I know
song.
That song.
Yeah. Yes, I think Judy Collins made it popular.
Well, she would.
Yeah. She would make anything popular. Yeah. She was the one who made Leonard Cohen music palatable to the masses.
She's still out there singing, too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, she's wonderful. Sorry, as I know it's an odd way to start, but I'm trying. I'm going for a little quirky thing,
and
Michael.
In case you're wondering out there in listening land, that is Paul Strohle that made that observation
that
about me.
That is. Should I speak about myself in the third
a little
person?
Bit, yeah.
Yes.
Shall we?
Let's do it,
All
Michael.
All right. We'd like to thank our sponsor, Breakdown Services, the entertainment industry standard used around the world, providing the most professional means to reach talent, agents, as well as actors when casting a project. To learn more about Breakdown Services, visit BreakdownExpress.com.
We'd also like to acknowledge PerformingArtsLive.com, one of the Internet's most prominent listing sources for the live arts here in Southern California. We're grateful to Performing Arts Live for lending their support to our live arts calendar. Let's throw some cheers their way. Very enthusiastic, the crowd.
I know they
are. Aren't they?
Well, they're anticipating the rain, I guess.
Well, they're anticipating this hour we're going to spend with these two lovely people we have here.
That's probably a better thing to talk about.
Yes, yes.
And in studio, since you mentioned that, in studio today with us, Paul, are two awe-inspiring individuals whose busy lives are fueled by commitments to give of their time to causes near and dear to everyone's heart, the care of children and the care of animals. Critically acclaimed actor-singer Scott Dreyer is back with us to promote his touring concert act titled Doris and Me in benefit of the Doris Day Animal Foundation.
And for her first time on State of the Arts, Kim Carrath joins us to talk about her life's work as a founder of the Aurelia Foundation. Do I have that right, Kim?
Aurelia.
Aurelia Foundation.
A co-founder,
okay. Which lovingly caters to children with special needs. Kim is adored around the world by billions of moviegoers for her portrayal of Gretel von Trapp, the youngest of the seven Von Trapp family children in The Sound of Music, starring Julie Andrews. I think I heard about that.
Yeah.
One of the most epic and beloved films of all time. So please welcome both of you. Lovely
please.
To have you here. Let's throw some applause your way as well.
Thank you, Kim.
Happy to be here.
Happy to have you here. And Scott, happy
Scott's
to have you back.
Oh. You're an old pro.
I so appreciate being invited back again. Yeah. This is a lovely, lovely hour indeed.
This is your ninth time, isn't it?
It's my 26th.
It's your 26th time. He's our David Brenner. You remember David Brenner?
Yeah, like, I used to represent David
Brenner. Was the most free, a lot of people don't know, most frequent guest host on The Tonight Show.
Yes, and the likely one to take over Johnny's spot, but it did not go to David.
No, it didn't.
Went to...
You worked with him?
I represented him for 5 years.
Yeah. I have to tell you a very brief story about him. I've always loved David Brenner's comedy. And the day after 9/11, Monica's parents were visiting us in Los Angeles, and 9/11 happened. And we were all supposed to fly to Vegas that night. And, of course, no one flew anywhere after 9/11. And one of the reasons we were so excited about it was because David Brenner, we had tickets to see him in Vegas. And we said, you know what? We can sit here and we can stare at the television, or we can get in the car and we can try to, you know, just do something, because they had flown all the way out. We wanted to have something for him. So we drove to Vegas, and Brenner performed the next night. And he had a cold, but he delivered, and he talked with the audience about the whole 9/11 thing. Do you know how good a stand-up you have to be to open talking about a terrorist act and still burn the room down comedically? Yeah. And he did. It was amazing to see. Just a
very, very smart man. Very,
he is.
Very,
he is.
Self-educated, but very well-educated.
Yes. How was your week, Michael?
You know, it was good. Still in the post-wrap-up of LA's Next Great Stage Star, getting ready to go to another... LA's Next Great Stage Star is a musical theater competition that I produce every year to give young people the chance to succeed at pursuing their dreams in musical theater, and we celebrated our 10-year anniversary this year.
Yay!
Sponsored by Princess Cruises this year for the first time, and had a beautiful 6-week run with this. And one of the elements of gifting the winner that I put into the competition this year is to have written a song. I co-wrote the song. I co-wrote the lyrics, and the music was written by my friend Gary Lynn Floyd, who's a wonderful, wonderful singer.
Oh, yeah, wonderful. Well,
he's been with us before.
Michael, you do everything. I'm so impressed by that.
Oh, well, you know what? This is something that's really for the competition, for the winner. And I wanted to take her in. It's a female that won, and her name is Maggie Randolph. And she's an amazing singer, and we wanted to take her into the studio and do a song that was about kind of the emotional journey of going through a young life, you know, which is all of these kids know when they're very young that they want to be in musical theater, and what it takes, and to know that you're finally arriving somewhere or you're on the right path. So that's kind of expressing the lyrics, and we went in and did all the tracks with an orchestra, and she's just learning the tune now, so we're going in about 2 weeks to do the actual recording.
Oh, wonderful.
And we formed a publishing company, and we are releasing it as her first digital download.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Wow.
Yeah, so
great.
It's very exciting.
Wonderful.
And it's a beautiful song. She's going to come on the show.
And we'll premiere it here, I hope.
Yes, we will.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah,
when we premiere it, did you want me to harmonize just on the fly? Because I'm here for you.
You really?
Know, I can do that for you, yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I didn't know that you could.
See, I don't harmonize, but when I sing melody, I'm always off by about a third.
Oh.
So it's unintentional harmony.
Oh, I see. Okay, well, no.
We'll talk about that off the air.
Yes, we will.
So for now, let's talk about the two people we have. Michael, would you give this gentleman to my right?
I will. One more thing I just wanted to say about Maggie Randolph.
Sure.
The sweetness of this year's competition is that she walked off with not only $2,500 cash from us as the winner, but one of our artistic directors in town, Marco Gomez, who is the artistic director for Doma Theater, was so impressed by the competition that he said, "How much is that prize?" I said, $2,500. He said, "On behalf of Doma Theater, we want to give you $2,000 more for that first prize
winner."
Oh,
wonderful.
So she walked out of there with $4,500.
Wow.
Nice, right?
Yeah. Got a little savings account.
And a new single.
And a new single coming up, and she's been signed. She had 6 agent meetings, all of them offering her a contract.
You know, I really am kicking myself that I didn't do that competition.
Why?
I was going to do the competition.
Well, what
and
happened?
I had a conflict.
What was that?
I can't sing or dance.
Oh, stop it!
Oh, my. It's a thousandth time I've done that.
Oh, my goodness.
All right. Well, that's good to hear. It was a very exciting week for you.
Yes, it was. Cool. And yours, sir?
I have a lot to talk about. But I actually want to talk about it next week because
a
couple of things are sort of in the ether.
Bit.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I'm going to do a full presentation next week. So since we have a lot to do, let's introduce Scott.
Absolutely. Our first guest, ladies and gentlemen, has been touring the last few years with his much-lauded one-man musical show, Doris and Me, the Doris Day Songbook, returning March 18th to the 20th at the Monroe Forum, part of the historic El Portal Theater located in North Hollywood's trendy NoHo Arts District. A musical theater veteran for over 20 years, Doris and Me is, as press notes describe, one man's quirky, lovable obsession with music and movie icon Doris Day. His successful career also includes appearances in over 50 theatrical productions, and he has been embraced by TV, film, and commercials, animation voiceovers, and a best-selling self-titled CD. His enthusiasm for life, his gentle being, his abundance of talent, and his innate showmanship is nothing short of inspirational. Please welcome Scott Dreyer.
Scott! Scott!
You know, that's the sweetest intro ever. I'm bringing you with me in my life. Are you kidding? That was so lovely.
And you know, Michael,
and the applause.
While you were saying that, all I could think was, you know, if only it were true. I don't care for the man. I never have. And it's just an absolute gem.
He's pinching me right now.
This is the show that just keeps on going and the show that keeps on giving, huh?
I never tire of saying this, one of the greatest gifts of my life, when you have been affected so profoundly by a person and to be able to shout that from the rooftops and celebrate their life and what their life means to you, and also be of service to the beloved animals that we've raised in the now we're going on 5 years of doing the show. We've raised over $8,000 for animals during
Good
that
for
time.
You.
Just
wow.
just but it's I think my favorite part of it is discovering so how beloved Doris Day still is today.
Yeah. Wow.
And also one of my favorite things, you know, because I speak to the audience after the show, I want to meet everybody. And also it's wonderful to have young people come up to me and say, you know, I didn't know who Doris Day was, but I can't wait to go home and rent a movie and watch her.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's just wonderful. I mean, I think... and. Whenever we hear the name Doris Day, we think of happiness and love and light and that bright, sunny personality. And she has had this huge effect on me, and I'm just humbled to be able to celebrate her.
Yeah, wow. You know, and that's I'm sorry, that's a wonderful thing to say. But you know, while you were saying that, I was thinking that, you know, there we always throw the word icon around, and it's become very popular to say, oh, icon and iconic. But when you were saying that, and you think about Doris Day. You know, it's sort of like the metaphor always used. It's like, you know, a Band-Aid used to be a brand name, and now it's a thing. And cellophane used to be a brand name, and now it's a noun. And Doris Day has actually become that noun of happiness and light and positive imagery in film and all. And it's just, you say Doris Day, and it's almost like it's a button of good. You know,
yeah.
You say it was like Doris Day, you know, and just what a wonderful
like Doris
way.
Day parking.
Doris
Day parking. You know, a lot of people use that phrase when they get lucky and find a spot right in front of where they're going.
Oh, my wife says Rockstar parking, but it's the same. Oh, we got Rockstar parking.
Yeah. Because in all of her movies, she'd always find
right in front of
where the camera was set.
Yes. Yeah, downtown New York, she would pull right up in front of the building. Yes.
No, but, oh, that has to be. Now, how do you know from when your obsession started with her? Like, do you remember the moment? Like, was there a causal event, or was it gradual, or what?
I do. I remember exactly. So I as a kid, I didn't, my family, and I don't want to make them sound like bad people, they're wonderful parents, but like most parents, they really monitored what I watched, my music intake, my TV, my film. And so I, you know, most people have lots of pop culture references to pull from, but my musical and TV and film education came more in high school.
Okay.
But so the things that I was able to watch are sort of burned into my memory. And my mom loved watching something us West Coasters remember, the Saturday Afternoon Film Festival hosted by the great Tom Hatton. And he, you know, he did what Turner Classic Movies and Robert Osborne are doing now years ago. And he showed a lot of Doris Day movies, and that's where I fell in love with her. She was like a friend or a mother, or, you know, there's always Doris Day's beautiful spirit always comes shining through. And my first movie that I saw was The Thrill of It All, and that's my favorite.
Wow. And did you meet her with the show already done, or did you talk to her about the idea of the show beforehand, or how did that work out?
I had met her years ago in 1993, and I talk about this a little bit in my show. I was a little too young to sort of wrap my brain around explaining to her the profound effect she's had on my life. And so originally, I get emotional even thinking about this, the original version of my show, I have that I wish moment.
Right.
To be able to go back in time and to say what I really needed and wanted to say to
at
her, because she's just, I'm a performer today because of her. I am a better person today because of her. Yeah. I strive, you know, the work she does with animals alone is a legacy, you know, just amazing legacy. But I'd always wished for that second moment, and I was granted it. She showed up unannounced, making her first public appearance in 2 decades at her 90th birthday. And so 20 years later, I got my Happy Doris Day ending, and I got to talk with her.
And, you know, and that's very, it's very touching and very powerful. But I always try to look back at things that happen like that and go, you know, it didn't happen, but was it Did that make it the locomotive that the show became what it was because it didn't happen? You know, it's sort of like, was that a drive? Was that an energy? Was that a push to make it better or prove something or something? And I always think that that taking something like that with you, you can look at it as a missed opportunity, or you could look at it like, you know, maybe it was exactly how it was supposed to be.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I haven't really shared this story, but I workshopped the show originally in Palm Springs, and I changed it tremendously over the 2 days that we did it there. And initially, the only thing that wasn't true in the show, because, you know, most people after the show will go, I love all that crazy cuckoo fan, you know, obsession stuff that you talk about in the show. And I always go, oh, no, all of it's actually true, you know, that it really, all of that really did happen. But the only thing that wasn't the truth, I initially thought it would be more interesting if I'd never met Doris. It would be more dramatic. And there was a famous Hollywood producer living out in Palm Springs that came up to me after the show, and she said, let me ask you something. Have you met Doris Day? And I said, well, yeah. And I told her the story, and she said, that's your story. That's the end of your story, because it's your real story. Yeah. And it was such a smart reminder that the truth is always much better than anything we can fabricate or make.
And yes, and audiences can't sniff it out. I mean, audiences are very, very smart. And if they see you, you know, maybe in the first couple of shows they wouldn't have, but as you do it repeatedly, you might have, you know, they might have been able to catch, okay, that doesn't have the same sort of weight as the real stuff. I encountered that with my show, the one-man show that I did. People would, okay, I don't believe that this happened, and I don't believe this happened. And it was only later in the one, it's like, yep. Yeah, My falseness is showing. So truth is always safe.
Truth is, you know, always
You've
safe.
Seen the show, Michael, haven't you?
I have. Yes, I have. And it's a lovely, a beautiful show. And I think that Scott, what he didn't say was that upon meeting Miss Day on her 90th birthday, he was actually invited to the birthday party. Right.
Well, it was actually open. It was a benefit for the Doris Day Animal Foundation. Okay. And we were told, you know, at the very beginning that Doris Day was not expected to attend, right. But I had just a gut feeling that I had to be there, and I'm so glad I followed that.
Yeah, I would say so.
Yeah, and just exactly who you want her to be is who she is. You
know, and speaking of birthdays, this show will be done again in honor of her 92nd birthday, coming up on April 2nd at 7 p.m., and again, all proceeds benefit the Doris Day Animal Foundation, and it's up in Carmel.
Yes, where Doris Day lives
where
today.
She lives, yes.
Yeah, it's one of the most glorious things. You know, you feel like you're this sole person in the world. And 2 years ago, when I went up for the 90th, to go to a town where everyone is as in love with Doris Day as I am, you feel like you've met your people. You know, it's, yeah. and everybody has that same.
It's like a
feeling.
Convention.
It is, but it's a convention of people that just love Doris Day. So you just feel so connected with everyone, and of course everybody's there to celebrate Doris, and of course help raise money for the foundation.
Are they as cool
foundation.
As you?
Oh, that's well. I will tell you, I've met some really wonderful friends up there, and I just think everybody's heart is in the right place. Yeah. We just all love her, and we want to share stories about her and that feeling we feel. And of course, being up there and raising money for the Doris Day Animal Foundation at the same time is thrilling. And to be able to debut my show up in Carmel,
finally,
where Doris Day lives today,
yes.
is humbling more than I can possibly
now,
say.
Where exactly, though, is it in a theater? Because it doesn't actually say on this.
It is. We've been a little tricky about that. And there's a reason. There's a specific reason. It's going to be at the Carmel, the Performing Arts Center at Carmel High School.
Uh-huh.
And the one issue with that night is it also happens to be the night of the prom. So parking at the venue, although the prom isn't going to be at the high school, there will be kids parking there. So parking is going to be a bit of an issue. Uh-huh. So we've specifically told people they're providing shuttle service from the Cypress Inn, which of course is Doris Day's dog-friendly hotel. And that will get you, it's a short shuttle ride.
It's a hotel she owns?
She owns, oh, yeah. She owns nice. The Cypress Inn.
Nice.
Co-owns it. With
now, that. Let me ask you this. I don't know whether you heard this at all. Somewhere I read it or someone told me that in her will is her home will become completely dedicated to a space providing home to all the animals. Is that right?
You know, I've heard that rumor too. I'm not sure that it's, I couldn't tell you either way. I don't think that's true, but I've heard that story forever and ever and ever. Of course, you know, she donates so much of her money all the time to animal welfare. That's her life. So it would be lovely, and I wouldn't be surprised, but I don't know for sure.
And I'm sure that's just judging by what a huge part of her life this is, I think even if the house or anything was sold, I think it's a pretty safe assumption where those funds are going to go.
Of course. Her heart is with the four-leggers, for sure.
Yeah. Now, I just want to clarify something here. You're doing this up in Carmel, but you're doing it here locally as well.
Yes. Yeah, so I've been invited to come back to the El Portal, the beautiful El Portal Theater, where I was fortunate enough to do the show about a year and a half ago, for 1 weekend, and it'll be sort of leading up to the Carmel performance as well.
What is the date on that?
El Portal is the 18th through the 20th. We're doing four shows, two shows on the 19th. Okay. And then, of course, up in Carmel on April 2nd, which is a Saturday and the day before Doris Day's 92nd birthday.
Okay, and this is what we're talking about for listeners that might have just tuned in. This is in celebration of Doris Day's 92nd birthday, with all proceeds to benefit the Doris Day Animal Foundation. To learn more about that, there's a website, ddaf.org, and that's ddaf.org. And for tickets for this particular fundraiser, you can call 831-620-7455. That's 831-620-7455. And the other guests that are going to be there, one of whom is with us here today, Kim Carrath, who has joined us, who we'll talk to in a moment, but Jackie Joseph from the Doris Day Show, Bernie Coppell from the Doris Day Show, and Doc from the Love Boat, is one of the great television actors, but there are people who are just master TV comedy. It's a distinct style of television comedy. Koppel had it. John Ritter has it. Michael J. Fox has it. It's a very particular type of performing, and they do it so well. And also Brian Nash from The Thrill of It All. And I'm just going to throw one of these quotes out here because they're so wonderful. This is the Toluquan Times. Charismatic charm and a phenomenal singing voice. Dreyer is brilliant, which we already know. And he has a brilliant director, too, because we had him on the show, and he was a lovely man. Richard Israel.
One of the kindest human beings and the best director. Just lovely in
lovely
every
man.
Single way.
I'm a fan of his work.
Me too.
And the other thing we always push here when we're talking about, because we live in Southern California and parking and driving is always a bit of a pain in the butt, the NoHo Arts Center, or not the NoHo Arts Center, the NoHo
Arts District.
Arts District, thank you. Right, but where the El Portal is, it's one of the few places in town that you can actually take mass transit to, because you got the red line right there. It's a great place to go. Get there early, get your parking, and go to any of one of the wonderful restaurants. And I finally remember the name of that sausage place that I'm always pushing that's right down the street.
Go ahead.
The District Pub.
Just closed.
It did not.
About an hour ago.
There's this artisanal sausage place right down the street from the El Portal. You really got to look for it. But they do all of these homemade sausages there, and they have craft beers, and there's a couple of tables right on the street. It's a lovely little joint.
Well, something new has opened down the street there, too, which is a pie shop.
Really?
Just pie. And I think it's just slices of pie, but the line is down the block.
Really?
Every day.
And what's the name of it?
I don't know.
It used to be
a hot dog place, and somebody bought it over and took it over.
Is it on the same side of the street as the El Portal, or is it?
No, it's the opposite side, and it's closer to the Academy of Television Arts and Sciences.
Oh, wow. Okay. Big fan of pie.
Yeah. So it must be good.
The Apple Pan over in West LA. You ever been to the Apple Pan?
Yes, I have.
Best banana cream pie in the world.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Isn't it phenomenal?
Absolutely.
May I say one thing about the co-star?
No. So anyway.
I just wanted to say that the co-stars we had when I did the show at the El Portal originally, we wanted to have some of Doris Day's co-stars in attendance. Of course, opening night was a benefit for the Doris Day Animal Foundation, and Kim so kindly agreed to be a part of that night. And so for the Carmel happenings, we wanted to incorporate some of Doris Day's co-stars to that as well. So Kim and Brian and Jackie and Bernie will all be emceeing the show that night. Of course, they'll be on the red carpet.
Oh, wonderful.
And we'll also be auctioning off some wonderful movie memorabilia, of course, signed that night as well. And all the proceeds, of course, going to the babies.
Now, oh, wow. Was the first time that you met Kim at the El Portel Theater when she came?
Yes, and yes. I want to... Can we bring... we have to talk about...
Well, I do want to say one thing. You said earlier that your favorite movie of all time was The Thrill of It All.
It is. It's
Kim, of course, was in that movie.
Of course.
And did you ever think that all these years later, all of this would happen, and now the two of you are sitting here in the same room as...
And that we'd be friends.
Yes.
Yeah. It's, yeah. And instant friends, right?
Instant.
Yeah.
I mean, just
immediate.
Yeah. It's just the second we met, it's, you know, we both say this. I don't know that either one of us believes in past lives, but we've known each other a very, very long time.
Yeah.
It just was instantaneous. And a fun little story, and I'll let Kim really elaborate on it because it's so great. When I called her and we were getting co-stars, she said, you know, I haven't seen Brian Nash, who played my brother, in a very long time. And then, of course, it was my mission to find him and to reunite them that night. Will you talk about it a little bit?
Oh, it was so much fun because I hadn't seen Brian. Our mothers actually used to be friends. And then we very briefly dated in our late teens. And then he went off to do his missionary work. Mm. He's Mormon. And we lost touch with one another. And it was Scott who reunited us.
Oh, you see, you can't go wrong with Scott Dreyer.
You can't.
He does it all.
You can't.
And how long had it been? You mentioned it. How long had it been that since you saw him? How long was
it
the gap?
It had been about 35 years since I'd seen. 30, yeah.
So since you were two.
Yeah, since you were two.
Well, you still look the same. You still look lovely and young as springtime. What about Brian?
Brian looks great.
Yeah?
He does. And he's got his... that personality that is just so out there and so much fun.
Good. That's nice to hear.
The two of them together, like Donnie and Marie, I mean, I'll tell you, so funny.
Let's play a little bit of Scott's track.
Let's
do that.
Which
is another component of fundraising for the Doris Day Foundation.
Oh, okay.
This is a track that is the first release off of his upcoming album, which is going to be released on April 3rd, I think.
Yes,
right?
April 3rd.
And this Doris is with the beautiful Broadway musical theater star Jane Monheit.
Jane Monheit.
Yes.
And I believe
Doris
it's
Day
called...
song.
Yes. And I believe it's called Everybody Loves a Lover. Do I have that right?
It is. Only available at ddaf.org. All the proceeds, including the royalties, have been generously donated. So the $5 donation will go all to the our furry friends.
Oh, that's wonderful. All right. Let's give it a listen. Here we go.
Pollyanna.
I gotta tell you, Scott, I do believe I have the vapors. That's a steamy song.
Thank you. Well, when you have Jane Monheit as your singing partner, boy, and she is as lovely as a person as she is as a musician.
And she is, and you're absolutely right, and not to take anything away from her, but don't sell yourself short. That's a duet, and it's gorgeous, and it's due to both of you.
Thank you.
It's really pretty.
You should come and see Scott's show.
Told you, I don't care for him. I don't. And you made me bring it up again, which is awkward, okay. You know. But
you are so good at pretending. I love it.
No, you would enjoy it very much. It's film clips and all sorts of lovely things.
Yeah, and this is the second?
This is the 18th through the 20th.
Oh,
unless you want to go to
It's State College, Pennsylvania. I'm doing the Collegetown Film Festival.
You are?
From the 16th to the 20th.
What are you doing there?
I'm part of the film festival. I'm one of the producers of it.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah, I've become one of the producers.
Is one of your films in it?
No, it was the last 2 years, but I've sort of moved into a producing capacity there. It's a turnkey film festival that goes to different colleges and does outreach for students. So
that's
we went to Ohio U. And this is our fourth year at Penn State. So
good for you.
Yeah. So that's I'll be, unfortunately.
All right, Paul, you want to introduce our lovely
I would love nothing guest. More. Our next guest is an actress, TV host, and writer. She started her acting career as a young child, and as we said earlier, best known for her role as the youngest Von Trapp in the film The Sound of Music. A USC graduate with honors and a degree in humanities, she co-authored a book titled The Sound of Music Family Scrapbook. Past screen appearances have included The Waltons, Lost in Space. Waltons is a special place for me because I'm great friends with Ellen Gear. Lost in Space, The Brady Bunch, All My Children, and the motion pictures The Thrill of It All, which we mentioned, starring Doris Day and James Garner, Spencer's Mountain, starring Henry Fonda and Maureen O'Hara, and more recent years, her most self-fulfilled and challenging task is that of mother to a 22-year-old special needs young adult son named Eric, who was the catalyst for her founding of the Aurelia Foundation and created by parents of special needs individuals to establish programs to encourage discovery and development of their unique talents and abilities as they leave the school system and enter community life.
And the foundation's mission is to create state-of-the-art day programs for adults with disabilities. So the programs will offer enriching learning experiences and a curriculum based on the individual learning styles and abilities of each young adult. Young people with her are a passionate thing for her own self-preservation, and she is an advocate for disabled young people everywhere. Her mother, Aurelia, was a devoted grandmother to Eric, her son, until her mother passed away in 2004, loving him the way these children and young people deserved to be loved, unconditionally and wholeheartedly. Please welcome Kim Carrath.
Yes,
indeed.
Kim, how did you, this is such a heroic undertaking, and I mean it in both senses of the word, not only that it's a heroic thing to do, but also it's just a heroic amount of work putting something like this together. Did you have any experience with this sort of thing? Did you sort of learn as you go? Did you have help?
None of us. I'm a co-founder, not the founder. True founder, in my opinion, is Lisa Zalagi, who is one of the most brilliant educators, a special needs mom and a special needs teacher who inspires everybody around her. And she was my son's teacher in Malibu. And all of us, all the parents whose children were so helped by Lisa, our kids were all about the same age, and we were becoming very, very anxious about the next step. Mm-hmm. Because there are not a lot of programs out there for kids with disabilities that are more on the severe side. Mm-hmm. And Lisa and a group of amazing parents and all of us together decided to create a foundation and create a program. And I think we were astonished by the scope and breadth. And for example, when we started 3 years ago, there were 12 young people that we were serving, and now there are 50.
Wow.
And we have a huge wait list. So I think none of us expected, well, I mean, we did and we didn't. Plus the amount of work, I mean, it's really Lisa who's shouldered the vast majority of it. She's a saint, closest thing to a saint that I've ever met in my life. Wow. And it was very funny because we have a fundraiser every year. And the first fundraiser, we sat in one of the parents' living rooms and we said, how do we do a fundraiser?
How do we do a fundraiser?
So that's how little we knew about all of it. Yeah, and
but there's a certain bravery that comes with naivete, though. Because, you know, you don't know what can go wrong, so you don't worry about it.
That's exactly. That's exactly right. So we knew it had to be done. And luckily, it's a wonderful group of parents. And we have definitely used all our different skill sets. And we work really well together, so it's become a kind of a family too, and I love every one of them involved in it. And we're growing so much that we haven't quite kept up with our own growth, but we're going to learn how to do that too.
Wow. Do you have intentions to just maintain the one place here, or to try to franchise it, if you will?
Absolutely, because the need is so vast.
Of course, yeah.
Every time I do an interview, I mean, when Sound of Music's 45th came up and then the 50th, I would talk a lot about the Aurelia Foundation, and we would be contacted by people from all over the country saying, do you have an Aurelia Foundation program in Alabama? Do you have an Aurelia Foundation program in Wyoming? Do you have... And that really was astonishing to us, and people would write their stories, which would be horrific in terms of how difficult it was to find programs. So our goal ultimately is franchise is really the wrong word, but to serve as like a model
different
program,
yeah, sure.
And help people start their own all over the country.
Right. And for our listeners that are interested in something like that, the website, is it Aurelia?
The website is www.aureliafoundation.org. Okay. And that's A-U-R-E-L-I-A, Aurelia.
And we will throw that out again a couple of times before the end of the hour for
Absolutely.
The listeners.
Your son is...
My son just turned actually 24.
24.
That was, yeah.
Because I read that he was 22
and
I figured
right,
that was
yeah,
a couple years ago.
Uh-huh. He's 24. He's amazing. He's doing wonderfully well.
I saw a lovely photo of you.
He's a beacon of love.
Yes.
He is. He's incredibly sweet and wonderful. And our kids are kind of amazing. They really are. They have a lot to offer. And one of the things I say all the time is I think they're a group that is sort of the last group against whom prejudice is sort of acceptable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that really does need to change.
Yeah. No, it is, and it's a very passive prejudice born of ignorance. People don't realize, and I know my wife Monica, her mother, for some upwards of 30 years, she's every Thursday night done a thing called SPRED, S-P-R-E-D, which is Special Religious Education, which is basically evening Sunday school for adults with developmental disabilities or
nice.
The like. And also she ran a work center for assembly and packaging for adults with disabilities. And she would say that all the time. She would say that there's, you know, and she worked a great deal with Down syndrome children and adults. And she said, you know, there's this, they're just by their nature, there's a cuteness about them. And because they can be so happy, they're immediately treated like children when they're not children.
Sure.
And I agree with you 100%. And one wouldn't think of that immediately as a prejudice, but it is. It's a preconceived idea of what a person is, you know?
And there actually really are a lot of them. And I had certainly never expected that or anything. And we, each of us, whatever the disability of the child, as parents have experienced that and watched people look at our kids, sometimes nicely, but a lot of the time not. Mm-hmm. If they make noise, if they behave differently, you would be surprised how unkind people can be. And it's just unacceptable.
Oh, yes. And the knee-jerk reaction that, that the parents, so many parents, and I know a lot of people who have children on the autism spectrum, you know, the parent is immediately cast in the role of defense. Like, because something might happen in a store, a child or will have some sort of, you know, outburst or reaction. And the venom that's directed at the parent, like, because of the ignorance of people who don't know. Take a moment and find out who it is you're talking to before you start scolding and reprimanding. Like, you know, it's just, I get very
absolutely
angry about it. Yeah.
It's worth being angry about. Yeah. You can't help it. And personally, I think we're all better than that. But sometimes it's a long learning curve for people.
Yeah. What's the origin of Aurelia, Foundation?
Aurelia, well, that I was allowed to name it, which was really wonderful. We offered up a bunch of names and then finally ended up with Aurelia. It means golden light in Greek.
Oh, really? Mm.
Golden light. And it was also my mother's name. So it's doubly sentimental, you know, but we see it as golden light, which is what we would like these lives to have in them, mm-hmm. as opposed to the darkness
sure.
that had been historically the plight of people with disabilities, with intellectual disabilities especially.
Now, when you mentioned the programs earlier, can you give like an example of one or two of the programs that have been implemented by the foundation?
Our first program is actually in action right now, and this is the third year of it. But we have music therapy that all the kids love. They go to Pepperdine for an art program that is unbelievable. The art that they create is astonishing. And all kinds of community involvement and outreach. And we're growing, and we want more and more.
Right.
So ideally, There's quite a bit.
We should also let people know, because that go to this website, which is aureliafoundation.org, A-U-R-E-L-I-A foundation.org, that, you know, if you are a academic or a professional or someone that has some sort of organization that could benefit these people, you know, contact them through the website, because sometimes help is in places you wouldn't know.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Absolutely right. Before we finish with Kim, and because we're heading into the home stretch of the show here, we do have to talk about you as an actress. And
I think we need to talk about Doris Day.
Yes, we do. Yeah.
I really do. Right. Back to Doris.
Yeah. So the thrill of it all, and I've worked with Doris Day too. Scott knows that.
Yes.
He was kind enough to share something with me that he had. Of course he had the Doris Day series of DVDs.
And you are so charming and adorable.
My episode of it. I owe you to bring the box back, which was my intention today, and
totally
walked out of the house without it.
No worries.
But, so I too felt, you know, like Scotty has described, it was, when my agent called, I didn't have to audition for this particular role because I was working a lot at that time, and they said, do you want to do this? It's kind of a small part, not too much for you, but it's with Doris Day. And I said, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Done.
Yeah.
So, and actually, I spent the whole day with her because of, you know, we did a couple of different scenes. And that was such, she couldn't have been nicer. Everything that we've talked about thus far, that's who she is. Really.
Wow.
And so you must have had an amazing time.
I had a wonderful experience. And actually, I didn't have to audition either. It was my second movie. My first movie had been Spencer's Mountain with Henry Fonda. And Luella Parsons, that's a name from the past, right?
Wow, great name.
Had written an amazing commentary about me in Spencer's Mountain. And Norman Jewison called me directly to play Doris Day's daughter, and I think I looked like Doris a little bit, and so that's how I ended up playing her daughter. And it was a delight. It was such a wonderful experience. She made me feel so comfortable. She was so beautiful and so warm. And I enjoyed every second of it. And I enjoyed playing that role more than my first movie because my clothing was much prettier. First movie, we were Wyoming poor people, and this one, it was much, much better. Cuter costumes and Doris Day hugging me. So
you did pretty good at Sound of Music, too. The costumes just got better and better. What was it like working with Jack Lemmon? He's a personal hero of mine, and so please don't say anything bad.
Oh, no. He was wonderful. He was delightful, and that was my third movie. That was Good Neighbor Sam. Wow. And, he was just a delight.
And we must ask, Julie Andrews.
She was a sweetheart. She's as sweet as she seems. You know, I was thinking about that earlier and thinking, gosh, you know, I only have positive things to say. That's terrible. I've got to, dig up some dirt. But I actually only have positive things to say. My experiences have been really lovely.
And
with
also,
my co-stars.
And you know that they're genuine because when you're a child and you're just a sponge for that sort of energy, you know that it just, if you didn't feel that way, you know, we don't have the filters as kids to block that out. So you take that in. Julie Andrews, oddly enough, owes me money. I didn't want to bring it up.
What?
Wow.
I'm just trying to
know that she gave a really insightful interview about The Sound of Music to Diane Sawyer not too long ago.
Yeah, right. Yeah, recently.
On that special. That
yes.
was lovely.
It was
really
lovely, wasn't
it? Yeah.
Actually, they surprised her with showing some, I guess some of the places she hadn't seen her actually until that special.
Yeah, it was well done.
Yeah.
Wow.
But I met her in an elevator.
Did you?
I rode up in an elevator in Century City with her.
Wow.
Did you
petrified.
Say anything?
Of course I did, yeah.
And was she lovely?
Lovely.
She, yes.
Lovely. And nice to meet you on the way out of the elevator because I was still continuing going up. And oh. Yeah. It's weird.
We're at that time, Michael. I'm sorry to cut you off. We only have 3 minutes or maybe about 4 minutes left.
Did you tell our
I did guests? Tell our guests about it to share a tale, a theatrical tale of woe, something that went wrong during performance, something funny or embarrassing or preferably both.
I was doing a play with Henry Fonda at the Huntington Hartford Theater. There's another name
yes.
from the past.
Yes.
And what it, I forget what it's called now, but it's on...
I know exactly
you,
where it
what
is.
I mean.
On Vine Street. Yeah.
And I was in costume, and my costume had petticoats under it, and I was supposed to be sort of roughhousing with my older brother, and everyone was laughing. I mean, normally people sort of chuckled at that, but like from the minute I entered, people were laughing. The petticoat had fallen basically all the way down in the back. And I didn't know it until I got off stage.
Yeah.
Biggest laugh.
I'm really hitting it out of the park tonight.
And I
they just
arrived.
Are just cracking up.
Oh.
Scott?
Scott, what do you got?
I thought of Little Shop. You know, I've done 13 productions of it, and I was thinking of one of these productions I had, and I won't mention the actor's name, who is lovely, had some line memorization issues. He was playing the dentist, and the meek shall inherit the earth. He drives that scene and sort of comes in as all these different characters and promises me riches if I'll, you know, help, you know, my plant and I will help him become famous. He every single time he made an entrance as a character, he couldn't remember what he was supposed to say. And of course, I am not supposed to remember. I don't, you know, he's telling me information
right.
I don't know. And he literally, all he can come up with is yada, 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 yada each time he comes in. And then same show. And of course, I'm staring at him blankly as you do.
Brilliant improviser.
Because I can't help you in any way. And the same show as the dentist, we had a dentist chair that was not bolted to the floor.
Oh.
And he madly came into the scene, swung the chair around, and I almost went flying into the orchestra pit. And all I could see is actor dies doing Little Shop of Horrors.
Little Shop of Horrors. Oh, that's hysterical. Oh, wonderful.
Oh, don't you love it?
Oh, life theater.
I know.
What a pleasure it's been having both of you.
Absolutely.
Thank you for having us.
Thank
truly.
You.
So
pleasure
welcome
for
back
us.
Anytime.
And I want to throw the two websites out there again that we've been discussing on the show. One is the Aurelia Foundation, Aurelia Foundation.org. And of course, Doris Day's organization for her animal foundation is ddaf.org. And Michael, do you want to say a little more about
absolutely
this
and for tickets for Scott's show, show, Doris and Me, which is opening at March 18th through the 20th at the beautiful El Portal Theater in the Monroe Forum. You simply go to elportaltheater.com. You can purchase tickets there or call them directly. And all of that information is listed on the El Portal's website.
Does the website, is the El Portal Theater website the RE spelling?
It is. Yes. Old school. Okay. Old school.
Okay. And also, if you happen to be in Carmel or you'd like to be in Carmel on April 2nd.
Who wouldn't like to be in Carmel?
Well, yes. You can see Scotty doing his show along with Kim and Jackie Joseph and Bernie Capel and Brian Nash on April 2nd. And tickets for that are simple. You call 831-620-7455.
Thank you both.
And one thing, may I say really quickly?
Sure.
We've just put up, the foundation has just put up a birthday card for Doris Day.
Oh,
so if you
yes.
are not able to attend, you can go and sign and make a donation in her honor and help the babies for her birthday.
And that's at the DDAF.
The Doris Day Animal Foundation.org.
I hope she shows up at this one like she did on her 90th. She's still so beautiful.
She is. She's not expected to attend.
Yeah,
I know. After the 90th, you can never count anything. Out, right?
We're hoping.
Yeah, exactly.
Thank you again, Paul.
Thank you.
Thank
both.
You. Always a pleasure.
A pleasure, and we'll see you all next week.
See you on the radio.
You're listening to State of the Arts with Michael Sterling and Paul Strohle, right here on LA Talk Radio.